Everyone, good morning. How are you? Great, fantastic. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the ministers here, if we've not met yet. I just want to offer a brief welcome. If you are visiting, if you're new in town, if you're checking us out for the first time, we're glad you're here. We're glad you've taken a chance on us in person. Hopefully the morning will prove worth it and meaningful in the name of Jesus for you. But if you are brave, at least in a couple of ways, we would like to start getting to know you if you would like to start getting to know us. So one of the easier ways is kind of in your bulletin, there's this perforated half sheet. We just call it a connect card. If you fill that out to the level that you're comfortable and then drop it in one of the drop boxes next to each exit door, there's one, there's two, there's three right next to each set of double doors. We'll just kind of start getting to know each other and you can kind of be in the loop on all things going on at Southwest. And if you are doubly brave, we would love to meet you in person. As you exit out of this room and as you're going out the front doors off to the left, we have an area just called Guest Central. We have a small gift for you, but we would just like to start, you know, getting to know each other. You know, what's your name? What's ours? All that. So I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, before we dive in, a couple of interviews, people we want to talk to on staff because there's any number of things going on at Southwest. So Larry, if you'd like to emerge from the shadows, this is Larry. You guys see him pretty much every single Sunday. He is our creative arts minister, and despite him being solo this morning, it was scheduled. We like to give the band some time off if we can, but I wanted to invite Larry here because we're kind of in maybe even a rare season of kind of being at a point where we could use more volunteers serving in the creative arts ministry, so I wanted to chat with Larry about that. So, for those who may not know or might even be surprised, what are some of the roles that make up all things creative arts ministry at Southwest?
The creative arts ministry kind of spans over pretty much anything that's like digital media inside the room, also like instrumentalists and sound, all kinds of things like that. Everything from like helping tear down and erect stage props and things like that.
Gotcha. So I'm thinking musicians, I'm thinking singers, I'm thinking set help, and often the more unsung members are these individuals back in the back of the media booth.
That's
right. We got one waving, got sound, we got screen, we got cameras, so any number of roles, right?
Primary roles on Sunday morning for the media group is sound, and then like Adam is doing back there, he's operating the slides for us this morning, and then we have cameras as well, so we've got Scott on cameras and John on sound. So
very good. So as far as I know, we could use help, just more people on the roster, just kind of volunteering, you know, typically once or twice a month, depending on availability and the size of the team. So if I'm out there and even lightly curious or interested, especially so like personally, I'm musical, but I am not tech savvy, and someone might be tech savvy, but not musical. But if I were sitting in the crowd or watching via live stream, hello, by the way, watching via live stream, I might be thinking, I'd love to help, but I know nothing about these parts, these roles in creative ministry. So how would you address that?
As far as the band goes, we generally will have someone playing keys, we'll have someone on the drums, someone playing bass, and then a couple guitar players and some vocalists. We use things like the drummer would need to know how to play with a click track or a metronome, and we use in-ear monitors, which puts everything in your ears so you can hear. We don't have a bunch of noise boxes on the stage and stuff like that. And then as far as sound, it's more of an ear and just learning the tech side of it. And we have some very capable volunteers that can help train, and I can help train. And as far as Pro Presenter, which is how we operate our slides, it's basically learning how to operate the Pro Presenter software, there's a bit of a learning curve, but it's not awful. Then we can help you get through that. And then once you get to that point, then it's just basically running through the slides and keeping up with whoever's speaking and singing on Sunday morning. And then the camera side, again, you know, it's a technical thing, and you don't need to know a whole lot about cameras. It'd be great if we could find somebody that knew a lot about camera angles and things like that, but we could train you on that and teach you how to run those as well. And then, you know, there's always room for help with lighting and designing lighting and things like that as well.
Having been here a long time, one thing I found encouraging is I've seen on any number of occasions someone who honestly has no real experience with things like this, but they've grown into the role fairly easily. So the training's there, and the learning curve, while it is there, it's not too intimidating. So last thing, Larry, for those who might be interested, again, on the tech side, on the musical side, or behind the scenes, anything like that, what's the best way to say, hey, I might be interested?
There's a couple ways you can text or call. My phone number is 513-446-0202. It's in the bulletin, by the way. They're in the handouts on the bulletin. And then also you can email me at larry@southwestchurch.org. And again, there's links on the website for that as well. So yeah, those are the two best ways.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, again, if you are thinking of, especially if you don't have a place to serve yet, this could be a great spot for you, especially in the summer is a fantastic time to kind of ease into a ministry like this one. So Larry, thanks so much for your time. And we're doing kind of interview round two now. So I'll invite Tammy Stahl up. Tammy is leading a team to El Salvador. We've had a multi-year partnership with a church called San Julian down there in El Salvador. And this is, I think, our third large group trip with this. So I've invited trip leader Tammy up to the stage. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
We've not been able to say hey yet.
Yeah.
So just a few questions because certainly the trip is most impactful for those who are able to actually go on it, but we don't want to be selfish with that. We want people to be as in the know and kind of grow this heart for the people of El Salvador and San Julian as much as possible. So, Tammy, I think outside of Roger, you've been down there the most from anybody from Southwest, so you get to be the expert in the room.
Great.
So just starting off, tell us a little bit about San Julian, about the people of El Salvador, especially for those who honestly know nothing about this people and culture yet.
Right. So they are the smallest country down in Central America, but they are big in heart. It's a very divided culture. They are either extremely poor or extremely rich. And then there's a lot of gang activity, which recent politics have been shifting and cleaning up some of that off of the streets. But being down there multiple times, I never felt scared in any situation. It is a little bit of a culture shock to be eating in a subway with a security guard with a machine gun at the door, but they have them there. Otherwise, the gangs would be running amok among the businesses. But the people that we get to interact with from our church in San Julian, they are a lovely, generous, kind, giving people. I do not speak Spanish, so that has been on my list of things to do for a while and just hasn't made it to the top. I took French in high school, which was a few years ago, but my brain does a funny thing while we're down there, and it knows that they're not speaking English, so I start speaking French to them, very broken. It's a fun dynamic because they look at me really weird. But then our translator that's with us speaks five languages. So he starts talking to me in French, and I have literally no idea what he's talking about. So it's fun. The language barrier, you get to interact with people in a unique way. But as one of the people, we met as a group last night, all but one of the team. And one of them that has been down there with me multiple times, she said, you know, thank God love from God doesn't have a language barrier. So we get to share that no matter if we can speak in Spanish or not.
So your team got to meet last night.
Yep.
Fantastic for like just a get together, some details, just because
yep.
It's a 13 of you going?
13.
And some I'm guessing maybe met for the first time last night.
Yes, really I had cool. names on the list that I did not know faces.
Oh,
so
hey. You know
it was
now.
Fun. Yes, I do.
Well, yeah. I know you guys take off this coming Saturday, June 3rd.
Yes.
I don't know if you talk about this. Does anyone from the team want to come up on stage? I know we're going to...
Yeah, we are going to pray for them. I don't know if they want to start
If they want
coming.
To come, yeah, come up now. Yep. We got time. But if you've, yeah, so team, if you're in the room, you can make your way to the stage kind of behind Tammy. So if anyone's ever been on a mission trip, it's very popular to hear the phrase, be flexible. So going into a trip, there are always plans, and those plans sometimes get replaced with other plans. But Tammy, right now, what is the plan for what you guys might be doing in El Salvador?
Yeah, I learned very quickly in El Salvador, they are a country, a culture of just enjoying people. And so the to-do list that runs my heart and my life, had to sit on this chair beside me. So we are planning to go down and help with some drainage projects around the shipping containers. That one of them we sent, and the church from California sent the other one. It sounds like there are some drainage issues around them. So we're going to be helping with that. And then any other projects around there that we see and can help with. We also are going to be attending a church service in one of their sister churches in Chalchuapa, which we visited the very first time I went. It's a unique church. It's a fun church. So we'll attend there. And then in the evening on Sunday, we'll be at our church of San Julian and Rocky. Actually, we'll get to preach a message there. So
with a translator.
With a translator. So first time for him, and it's going to be fun. And then we will get to do a kids camp one day. And so we are taking sports camp that we do here for our kiddos. We're taking the soccer portion down to those kids because that's what they do in their free time, is they always are kicking around a soccer ball. So we're going to use that love and teach them the love of Jesus with it.
Well, the plan sounds fantastic. I'm sure you'll do most of it. So last thing, as you guys are there, you know, 3rd to the 9th, so pretty much a week, what is the absolute best way that Southwest can pray for you and San Julian while you're gone?
So number one would be safety, both in physical and with digestion. We're going to have some bottled water that will be available to us, but those risks are always evident. But then praying that, like I mentioned earlier, there's no language barrier, that we get to share the love of Jesus with kids and families and the other people that we interact with while we're down there.
Thanks so much, Tammy. Well, I've invited one of our elders, Cal Town, is going to be praying over the group. So, Cal, take it away.
Join me in prayer, please. Lord, I thank you that you invite us to become part of your family. You offer the free gift of salvation. If we accept it, we are becoming a part of your family, brothers and sisters, not only here in Southwest Ohio, but across the globe and every country. And today we know that there are brothers and sisters worshiping you on this Lord's Day, especially in San Julian, El Salvador. We're thinking of them, and we know that they are worshiping and praising you this morning. I just pray for your blessing upon them, upon the team. I thank you for Tammy and her heart of service, her heart for children and families. And I pray that you would bless and lead her as she leads the team. I pray that you would go before the team and prepare the way and make it smooth for them in all the various details that have to be taken care of. I pray also thank you for the team, each team member who has dedicated their time and resources and skills. I pray for success in the projects that are going to be going on. I pray especially that your spirit will be seen through them, that Jesus will be seen through them, and that lives will be affected because of this. I just pray that you would multiply their efforts and keep them safe and healthy and protect them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, everyone.
One more thing. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually have purchased gifts to give to the children down there. And so if you would like to be a part of that gift giving, it's just $20 for the things that you see on the screen. And then while we're down there, we get to make a trip to their Walmart, and we're going to add granola bars and some other healthy things. So there is a box out on the welcome counter. If you would like to donate, any amount of money would be a help. So thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. this weekend, it is a holiday weekend. Tomorrow, the country is celebrating Memorial Day. And if I could ascribe one word to Memorial Day, much like you, it would probably be the word remember. Before we kind of dive into the sermon itself, just want to take time to do that very thing and maybe just to remember not just the reason for the holiday, that being honoring those who have passed, who gave the ultimate sacrifice, giving up of their life willingly so our beliefs, our values as a nation could be ensured. Let's keep in mind that tomorrow and this entire weekend, it's not about the cookouts. It's not about the trips to the lake. It's not about, fill in the blank. It's about remembering, many of whom we have friends and family who we are celebrating tomorrow. So take a look at this video and let's all collectively remember.
They stood as heroes in our midst, with courage in their hearts and fists. And with each step, they faced the call to serve their land, to give their all. They left behind their homes and kin for fields of battle fierce and grim, with steadfast hearts and selfless grace to fight for freedom in every place. They marched across the dusty sands to foreign shores and distant lands. And there they fought with all their might in blazing sun and darkest night. Their names now etched in history's page, a lasting tribute for every age to those who served and fell in line to keep our freedoms ever shine. For those who paid the ultimate cost, their lives laid down, their battles lost, their sacrifice a priceless gain for the freedom we proudly claim. We honor them with every breath and cherish them beyond their death. Their bravery a beacon bright, guiding us through the darkest night. So let us pledge with all our might to keep their legacy shining bright and hold them close within our heart, their memories never to depart.
Let's pray once more. Father, once again, I pray that we can collectively remember, be that remembering friends, families, or just heroes. So I pray this holiday can even become a day set apart for that, that again, enjoy our time off, enjoy everything that you have gifted us to enjoy, but never losing or forgetting the reason for tomorrow. As for the rest of our morning together, I pray that we have ears to hear and hearts that are open to hear what your word has to say when it comes to unity, but particularly unity in our relationships, and that's relationships of every single kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the most beautiful things about the friendships that I have in my life is I think most, if not all, of my friendships would not exist without Jesus kind of bringing us together or us having Jesus in common. I'm someone who has had a certain level of challenge making new friends my entire life, and part of that's probably some level of shyness, probably some it's just a higher comfort than most of just enjoying alone time, and some of that's probably just not having popular hobbies and interests. But something else with my friends that's interesting is I think all of my friends are more extroverted than I am. So as I think about it, it's not so much that I was good at making friends that I even currently have, but it feels like more like once upon a time an extrovert was walking along, found me interesting enough, and adopted me. I don't know if any other introverts have had that experience with your friends or not. In particular, I think of a friend I made years ago when I was first starting out in ministry. And one joy, and that's sarcastic joy, by the way, one joy of being young and single in ministry is that sometimes a church doesn't have enough money to pay you a full salary, so you get some salary, and then you get to live at other people's houses for months at a time. And one house, one of my very first houses years ago that I lived in, I got close with a guy 4 years younger than me. His name is Matt. Here's the two of us. This is not a recent photo. I think this is from 2009, so now you know what I looked like 14 years ago. And that's Matt behind me, and you can see who's comfortable with hugging and who's not in this photo as well. But Matt and I, we call each other brother. We very much feel that familial bond with each other. And he actually is in full-time ministry himself up in New Philadelphia, Ohio. He's a phenomenal worship minister up there. But there's a running theme in our friendship that goes something like this. He makes a mistake, and I pay for it. I don't know if you have friendships like that at all. Well, in the fall of 2015, I took a sabbatical week to New Philadelphia to be with Matt for reflection. I was coming up on my 5-year ordination anniversary, and it was just a fantastic time for reflection. And if you've ever been, it's a really, really small town, New Philadelphia. It's up toward the Akron area. I always like to say it looks like Norman Rockwell painted the town. It just has that cozy feel, just everything about that. Anyway, so I stayed with Matt at his house, and as the evening was getting late, I told him, hey, I'm going to go to bed, but that I could use some Tylenol, as I just had the smallest of headaches, but I was going to go to bed. So we go to the kitchen, and he gives me the Tylenol bottle. I open it, take the two pills with a bottle of water, and I give it back to him. But when I give the bottle back to him, an expression comes across his face that could best be described as, oh no, what have I just done to Andrew? He looks at the bottle, he looks at me, eyes wide, mouth agape. I say, what? And he starts laughing. He says, that wasn't Tylenol. Concerned, I say, what was it? Because between me and you, Matt is on a number of prescription medications. And he keeps laughing, and he said, you just took Adderall. Yes. And I said, why are you keeping your prescription Adderall in a Tylenol bottle? He said, why aren't you paying attention to the pills you're putting in your body? And there was no time to argue because I'm like, I have to beat this thing. Maybe I can go to sleep before the pills take effect. So I quickly go to bed, and I actually do. I get to sleep, and I'm able to get to sleep actually quickly. But then at about 3 a.m., I wake up, and for the next 36 hours, I was a superhero. Here's the point of this story. The story of a friend making a mistake and me paying for it. Relationships can be wonderful and special, but they can be messy as well. I told that story to Mark earlier this week, and while he laughed just like you did, he also said, Andrew, you may have just confessed to a federal crime. I was like, I think the statute of limitations, we're probably good, but you're on my side, right? We're cool. Well, all too often, the messiness gets in the way of the relationship. You know, we can focus on, say, the drool and ignore the blessing that the person brings to our life. We can focus on the discomfort and dismiss the joys. We can focus on the mistakes and disappointments that relationships bring and fail to see the value and the richness that they bring to us. We can focus on the spills and the messes and fail to see the laughter and uniqueness that someone brings. You know, we've all heard about broken relationships over the years, you know, all kinds. And if you're like me, you've often heard people talk about what the other person is doing wrong and what they need to change, but nothing about ourselves. And honestly, we do that in the church too. We have that ability. You know, it's easy to come to a place like this or, you know, kind of watching online to worship God, but still harbor an irk or even a dislike for others in this community. Maybe it's no mistake that last week Mark preached a sermon titled Unity in Lifestyle. You might recall this verse from Ephesians 4. It said, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. For those of us who do follow Jesus, our lifestyle should model kindness. They should model tenderness. And imitating Jesus, which is what following is, imitating Jesus means forgiving others just as he forgave us and continues to forgive us. And that happens when we begin to see others as he does and we treat them accordingly because of that. Last week in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 5, Paul, writing this letter, he speaks about things we do when we're with other believers, just things in common, how we treat each other relationally, and we're in the company of other Jesus followers. But honestly, these commands, they continue in every single type of relationship that we have, the ones we deal with every single day. Verses 20 and 21, Paul writes this from chapter 5, "And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, and if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this verse. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." When we talk about relationships and hear about relationships, it's easy to think about what we will get out of that. Young children do that a lot. I'm currently a parent of two under two, at least a few days. Audrey turns two this coming Thursday. But we get a front row seat. You know, children, they have to learn about how to navigate relationships as they grow, and they look to parents as far as what to do and how to live life. They do that to any other adult and other people they might see around. They look around to learn. But the reality is that far too many of us never grow when it comes to our relationships with others. So often we focus on what we want. We focus on our rights. We can remain childlike in that way. We fail to develop any emotional intelligence, and we can altogether forget about the wants and needs of the other person. Well, this is a longer series that we've been in. We started it in the back half of April, this Unity series. We're in week 7. Next week, week 8, is the final Sunday of this series out of Ephesians. But we've seen these past weeks up until now how God values unity with him and how he made Jesus, King Jesus, the very foundation of that unity. We've learned that our differences really make no difference when it comes to following Jesus. Learned and been taught about how we can be united in the pursuit of God's potential for us, united in our service to the church, the kingdom, and to one another, and how unity begins when we unite our lifestyle with what God knows we are capable of becoming. Well, we're also called to reflect that unity in every single one of our relationships, at least so far as it depends on us. So we're going to read from kind of the back several verses of Ephesians 5. I'm going to get into the first chunk of Ephesians 6. But this passage, or these scriptures, I'm going to read out loud, and they'll be on the screen for you. They are laying out three types of relationships to be unified and healthy in, those being marriages, families, and work. So let's talk marriage. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Paul writes, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church, and as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And we'll pause there. God's design for marriage has always been one man and one woman married for a lifetime. And last week, as Mark took us in earlier in Ephesians 5, we saw that we are called to avoid what Paul writes as sexual immorality. Scripture teaches, and Jesus agrees, that God created marriage to be this union of a man and a woman, and that any kind of sexual expression outside of the covenant of marriage between that man and woman, God calls sexual immorality. We might do well to remember this verse out of Hebrews 13, where that author wrote, "Give honor to marriage, and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Here's the whole design, what God had in mind behind this. God designed marriage to best reflect the passionate love Jesus has for the church and the rich, fulfilling, deep relationship he wants to have with her. Well, by becoming human, Jesus submitted to us by becoming one of us and putting our needs before his own. That was a good reminder that Jesus submitted himself to me. Well, Paul says that wives are to reflect that attitude toward their husbands. So every now and again, I get to officiate a wedding, and more often than not, and talking with other ministers, this is I'm not even saying this is a good or bad thing, it's just a trend that a lot of us have been noticing, that, you know, there are popular wedding passages to read. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is right at the top of the list. Ephesians 5, husband and wife language is also common. But what we're noticing is more often than not, it's being requested that that Ephesians 5 passage not be read. Please do not read that passage about wives submitting to their husbands. And I would say largely because this verse has certainly been abused and misused in the past. If we don't do our homework well, we can read into something that honestly might not even be there. So this verse about wives submitting to husbands, this verse is not about wives being oppressed by their husbands or being a slave to everything they say. That's not what this passage is saying. That's not what this is about. We might pay attention. This verse does not say wives submit to your husbands. It says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's a critical phrase that can't be divorced from the rest of the sentence. And as to the Lord, this is for the sake of modeling and living out the love of Jesus in your marriage. So part of what Paul is saying is this: wives, you are not your own anymore. Once upon a time, you may have been single, but you're married now. You belong to each other, and you need to remember to remember and honor your husbands. Some questions, and by the way, I'm going to talk to the husbands in a moment. So, but maybe some probing questions as far as submitting, honoring, remembering. Wives, do you dominate how the money is spent in your home to your advantage? Or wives, do you dictate all aspects of the calendar, maybe even at husband's expense? Or wives, are you domineering when it comes to all of the decision-making in the house? Now, we can easily get defensive about this, especially in this very argumentative culture that we live in, but I would say, and many of you might agree, but I would say what's being asked of husbands here is even more difficult, more challenging. And I would say it should be. All right, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loves the church. Now, most of us husbands say that we would give our life for our wives, but also there's a phrase out there that talk is cheap. It's easy to say that we love our wives, but it's another to say, do more than our part around the house when it comes to choring. It can be easy to say that, but when it comes to spending time with your wife and be interested in what she has to say, to serve her, to put her first in absolutely everything, husbands. And also doing all that you can to help her become the best version of herself that she can possibly be. That is a love that does not quit and grows deeper and deeper over time. Men, we have the more critical challenge. The bar is set. We need to meet it. Now, sometimes men need a little more help with this, so I found a help. Many of us are familiar with the five love languages. That's quality time, acts of service, gift giving, words of affirmation, physical touch. Well, I didn't put a slide together, but again, men, we can use help with this. So I've heard it compared to kind of using tacos as an example to use this. So ladies, you like tacos. Everyone likes tacos. We're a fan. So again, maybe tacos is her love language. I don't know. But just for example, so if you need help with words of affirmation like this, honey, your tacos are amazing. or acts of service. I made you a taco. Or gift giving, which really similar to service is, here's a taco, sweetie. Or quality time. Let's go get a taco together. Wives, wouldn't you love to hear that? No. I'll guess that's because of the taco and not your husband. That's why I'm taking that. Or physical touch, let me hold you like a taco. Just look. Anyway, with all this talk, these words of truth and challenge from Paul, this does not mean that there aren't bumps and bruises along the way, but it does mean that there is a commitment to pursue one another. And Jesus is relentless in that. He pursues us, men and women, and offers us the opportunity to grow deeper with him over and over and over again. And we need to do that as well. And by the way, even though it says wives submit to your husbands and husband love your wives, those are expected to be interchangeable. Husbands, you're still called to be submissive to your wives. And wives, you're still called to love your husbands. Marriages can easily be difficult in certain seasons, and churches all over the country are discovering that many marriages are stressed, even up to the breaking point. You know, perhaps one of the members in the marriage is saying they're not happy and they deserve to be, or the other shuts down in the face of conflict, or vows and relationships and kids are being threatened with lifelong pain and scars on the horizon. Again, for some, it's at a critical point. Church, Satan loves to destroy marriages because marriage in its healthy state is a picture of the relationship Jesus has with the church. So do we wonder sometimes why marriages are under attack? And there are marriages struggling at Southwest, some that we know about and some that honestly we don't know about. But for those who are married and you don't feel like it's healthy right now, please do not bail. Please do not give up. But on the backside of that, I urge you, please get help. You know, earlier this year, we launched a marriage ministry with trained couples who can support you, support your spouse through a hard season. And we also have elders and ministers who would love to help. And we can bring healing, or at least help bring healing and health to your relationship once again. And that happens when both the husband and the wife put the needs of the other first. That is what submission is, putting the needs of someone else before your own. You know, I even before I was married, even before Ashley and I were dating, I had heard and was even given some marriage advice here and there. One I heard years and years and years ago was, when it comes to marriage, you can't expect to put in 50% of the work and your spouse put in 50%. You have to be willing to put in 100% of the work, because if you come at it with 50%, you're only going to get half a marriage. Wasn't even close to being ready for marriage, and I still remember that. I've heard that when it comes to a married couple, that if one of them thinks that their marriage needs help and the other doesn't, the marriage does need help. So if one of you thinks things are going to work out, if one of you thinks that there are things to work on and issues to address and the other doesn't see it, guess what? There are things you need to work on. There are things that you need to address. My wife Ashley and I, we're coming up on 4 years of marriage, and even though that's not very long compared to many other marriages in the room, I hope you won't discount my thought on this. My relationship with Ashley is the most important relationship that I will ever have, even beyond that of me and my children. That's true of your spouse as well. And if sometime in the future Ashley and I do have marriage problems, I don't know why we wouldn't do everything we possibly could to make it healthy again. And maybe this is over the line, but I also don't understand why one spouse would refuse to get help if the other is asking for it. In marriage, just as in every other relationship, we aren't here to fix each other. We are here to help each other become the best version of God, of who God created us to be. And wives, you do that by putting your husband's needs first. And husbands, you do that by loving your wives in real, tangible ways. Let's talk about family, and I'll have to trim as I go because I want to be sensitive to our time. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So yes, parents need to teach and help their kids to become men and women God wants them to be. They need to be protected and provided for, but they also need to be guided. And I would say that parents need to set the agenda in the home. Parents do that. And children need to obey their parents and honor them. And those who do, the Bible says, will be blessed and live long lives. So from the child standpoint, even as an adult, I think it's important to honor, because there's that thing like, even if I grow out of the house and my parents are older, I have my own family, where's that line? I would say honoring is important. Again, not that I've always done it. When I was 21 years old, I got my ear pierced at a Walmart in Vandalia, Illinois. My parents did not know I was doing this. And my dad's anti-piercing position in the home was well-documented growing up. I don't know if you had similar positions in your home, but that was my dad's. Well, when I get the ear pierced and I go home to Indianapolis, and my dad saw the tragic decision that I had made. And it was pure disappointment, as if 21 years of solid fathering had just been like flushed away. It was all for nothing. He completely failed as a parent. Well, I also wasn't a child anymore, so I wasn't, say, biblically required to obey in not getting my ear pierced. However, did Dad feel honored? No, absolutely not. But also don't ask me if I would make that particular decision again, because I might. Here's something else. Another example is I would love to own a motorcycle. I think it's on brand for me, and I think there's a certain romance to it. But my parents both also feel very strongly that me purchasing one would be foolish. And that's putting it lightly, foolish in any number of ways. And I mean it when I say the biggest reason I don't own a motorcycle is that I have chosen to honor my parents in this way. But I've also done the math, and my parents won't be around forever. They're coming next hour, by the way, and this was written long before I knew they were coming. So we'll see how they react. One, there's no way my dad's going to outlive my mom. But with mom, actually both sides, both, like the women on both sides, have a habit of living well into their 90s. So what I'm thinking is when I'm roughly 65 years old, I can get my motorcycle. But it's probably going to have to be something like this. But then I won't be cool. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I apologize. I didn't pace myself well. The last relationship is work. I'm going to skip that in favor of getting us to communion and a final worship song. But if I could just be so simple, when it comes to work, your coworkers, those who serve under you, those who are your supervisors and bosses, be a good teammate. Just be a good teammate. You know what that means. It doesn't need to be explained. But don't discount that relationship, because honestly, depending on the day of the week, you might spend more time with those you work with than those in your own house. And there are opportunities all over the place to serve and honor and submit in the name of Jesus. Point of the morning is this: relationships are messy, but all relationships have the potential of becoming meaningful and beautiful if we practice that one verse that introduced this section of scripture, that verse that I said, remember this if you remember nothing else. This one, 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not just because, but submit out of reverence for Jesus. And this is the key on that. Take the time to see people as Jesus sees them. Put the other person first, put the team first. It is not about you, it is all about Jesus. Not about your wishes, not your hopes, not your opinions, your soapboxes. When it comes to this church, it's all about Jesus. It is all about Southwest. It's about God's kingdom moving forward in power, in purpose, and fulfilling potential that God has placed on us. And again, it's not what about I or what about you can get out of something, but experience fulfillment when I focus on others, when you focus on others, when you serve them, when you help them, challenge them, encourage them, and when you help them know the joy that comes from knowing Jesus and following him. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And we show that love by submitting to one another, by putting others first, just as Jesus did with us. And as one body, we're going to remember and honor that submission that Jesus chose to do on our behalf in this moment of communion. So with that, we're going to have a couple of minutes, and we're going to end with a final song. But this moment of communion, it's about remembrance, it's about gratitude, it's about honoring Jesus. And this is both a private moment, but it's also a corporate moment. We are the body of Christ himself, whom he loves. So think about those things, meditate on those things as we have this time of communion. Let's pray. Father, for the next moments we have, I pray that we can meditate well on your scripture, on your truths. And there will be time after this to think about our earthly relationships with those we love. But for this moment, I pray that we can center and focus on our relationship with you and your relationship with us. That we can follow your example in submission by submitting every bit of ourselves to you, by giving up our own wishes in favor of what you, our Lord, is calling us to. In Jesus' name.